Well, today is Trinity Sunday, and Trinity Sunday always falls on the first Sunday after Pentecost. And many, many different denominations, we preach and we teach on perhaps this greatest doctrine of our faith. The magnificence and mystery of divinity, that God is three in one, that He is Father, that He is Son, and that He is Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, the Trinity. Now, if you know much about church history, you'll know Trinity has been probably one of the thorniest thickets, one of the trickiest subjects in the history of Christianity. When Jesus said that the Father and I are one, if you just went on and said, you know, the Holy Spirit and I are also one, we are all one in three, the Trinity, man, that would have saved us so much trouble, made things so much easier. But nowhere in the Bible do you find this word, or do you find that, or even the word Trinity. Yet this concept of God as Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, all different expressions of the one God, all three distinct yet the same, is seen throughout scriptures. And so for most Christians, we don't lose a whole lot of sleep over that doctrine, and we probably really don't think about this a whole lot. It's just kind of given. It's what's been taught, and we have just kind of left this doctrine up to the theologians to hash out. And about all we do with it is sing songs about the Trinity, like Holy, 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 God is in three persons, Blessed Trinity, and give praise to that triune nature of God as Father, as God as Son, and as God as Spirit, right? But let me go out on a limb here and say that this triune nature of God isn't something that too many of us consider as a part of our daily expression of faith, right? But maybe it should be, because this is the kind of faith, this Trinitarian faith, that our world is truly hungering for. And that's experiencing God as Father, experiencing God as Son, and experiencing Him as Holy Spirit is truly what keeps our faith fresh and what makes it possible to rebirth Christ into our world every day. How our world needs a Trinity kind of faith. How we need a Trinity kind of faith. A kind of faith that is active and alive, that is doing something, that is growing, that is changing us, that is challenging us, and the way that we think and live out our lives here on this planet, instead of a faith that just talks about or thinks about religion or religious things. A Trinity kind of faith is a faith that is daily experiencing God as Father, God as Son, God as Holy Spirit. Now, just a few moments ago, we listened to Psalm 8, that beautiful psalm that speaks of God the Father, the Creator of all that was and is and ever will be, and how majestic is His holy name. But you know, there's another text that I want to read this morning. It's our gospel lesson for today. It's from John 16. And I want you to hear these words as Jesus tells His disciples and as He speaks these words into our life. He says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you." Oh, Jesus' words here, speaking to us all, are some of the most challenging words that you and I will ever hear. I mean, think about this. It was after 3 years of intense one-on-one training with His disciples that these disciples have grown as Jesus' followers, they've learned more than they've ever bargained for about God and about themselves and about others, truly about life. They've become literally the world's leading experts in the Christian way. And now the time has come for these disciples to take over the work of Jesus in the world. And Jesus gathers these disciples together, and this is what he says. He says, I have much more to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. I don't know how these words strike you, but for me, I'm kind of reminded of that little book written by Robert Fulghum entitled, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And maybe Fulghum was not entirely correct, because we certainly learn some very important life lessons in kindergarten, but these words of Jesus make me think that maybe there are some things in life that can only be learned much, much later, that there is much more to be said to us, but we kindergartners can't bear it right now. And I know that to be true in my life, because since I graduated from kindergarten, I've had to enter some of life's realities that I simply was not prepared to face whenever I was 5 years old. How about you? Yeah. And Jesus' words also contradict that old adage by which many people believe to be true, and that is, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Well, evidently, Jesus thinks old dogs are not as hopeless as we old dogs might think we are. Because after telling us that he has much more to say to us, but it's more that we can bear right now, he adds, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all faith, all truth. So this Holy Spirit part of the Trinity, the Spirit that came into the church on the day of Pentecost, has as one of its jobs the challenge of teaching and guiding us into all those things that Jesus says that we'll need to know, but we're not quite ready for them yet. Oh, you see, the Holy Spirit is to provide our post-kindergarten education. God the Holy Spirit teaches us old dogs new tricks. Now, the reason I think these words are so challenging for us is because Jesus is stating that in our faith journey, that our faith truly is a journey, and it is not a final destination. The person who thinks that they know God is truly mistaken. The person who thinks that they know what it means to be a Christian has so much more to understand. The person who thinks that they know all about the Bible likely hasn't even scratched the surface of the Bible. You see, you and I may know right now what people in our circumstances and experiences can know about God, or what it means to be a Christian, or what it is that we understand about the Bible. But Jesus says, right now, oh, I've got so much more to say to you on that subject, but you can't bear it right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And I know these words of Jesus to be true. I know them to be true because not that I've arrived at some higher level of spiritual understanding, but rather because the Holy Spirit over the years has been chipping away at my faith, of that faith that I held in my childhood, chipping away at my kindergartner faith, chipping away at my young adult faith and my adult faith, and leading me to places that I could not possibly have appreciated at other times in my life. And I want to share a couple of these discoveries with you this morning. Discoveries that God as Spirit has led me to, that that are now a little bit different, that are now new, a little bit newer to me than what I had once believed or thought in my faith journey. And these are just simple things. But the Holy Spirit has had to work hard in my life in order for me to engage them. First of all, in my faith journey has led me to discover that there is more of heaven in this world than what I had first thought. You know, I've always appreciated the outdoors. I've always loved the hills, the mountains, the valleys, the beautiful trees, the water, the lakes, the mist rising off of them, off a quiet lake, waves on the ocean. I love the ocean, especially how it rolls up on the beach. I'm one of those persons who likes to take my little sand chair and sit it right in the wet sand so the water rolls right up onto me and around me, and my chair starts sinking down, and I could just stay there for hours. I love the sights. I love the smells. And I've always known that God has created all of this, and it's good. But probably 12, 15 years ago, something kind of just clicked inside of me in my appreciation, my understanding, how I look at these wonderful, amazing things that God has and that God is creating. And it just kind of touched my soul in a different way, a deeper way for me, a more appreciative way. You know, I think many of us have a faith that was born with a distinct ability to appreciate that the world really is a beautiful place, filled to overflowing with good things, indeed with literally the glory of God. You know, the songs of ancient Israel call us to understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that the heavens reflect the glory of God, that God formed the oceans and the mountains and the trees, and that the beauty of the Lord, it surrounds all things, yet we can get so easily sidetracked by all the ugliness and the pain of our world. Oh, my kindergartner and my young adult faith began with the idea that heaven is very much unlike the world in which we live. That our world is kind of a hard place, an awful place compared to what heaven is going to be like. And with all the stuff that goes on in this world, you know, it would probably be better for God to just judge it and for the church to be raptured and just get on with it kind of thing. But you know, I see the world in a much different way now. Even with all the crazies, I see the world in a much different way. I see the world as God's craftsmanship, the work, literally, of God's own hands. You know, in the Bible, heaven is described as a place, think about this, a place of beautiful trees, a place of flowing streams, a place where people of every color, of every language, of every tribe, where they're singing songs and eating food and drinking whatever. And the Bible, in the Bible, the heaven of the Bible looks really a lot of what God has created our earth to be. And when God finished creating the world, he looked at the very first people and he said, "This is my garden. I created that. This is my garden. You know, take care of it." Oh, you can't care for God's garden if you can't see its beauty and think that it's not worth saving. And the same goes for people, all people. If you can't see them and know that they are worth saving. All the earth is full of the glory of God, and there is more of heaven here than I once believed. A second discovery of my faith journey is that people are just people. Duh, imagine that. There is good in every person, and every person is flawed. Some show their flaws a little more than others, and some let their good show out and shine out more so than others. But people are just people. And there is goodness, and there is bad in all people. But the good, can no doubt greatly outweigh the bad. And that's where growing in Christ comes in. Many of us began our faith journey in the place that we were taught to be suspicious of other people, that this is a world of good people and bad people, the righteous, the unrighteous, the sheep, the goats. But you know, for the last several years, I found myself not living in that world near as much. And let me give you an example why. Friday night, that Susan and I, we went out to eat, and we're standing in line. Of course, it's Friday night, and so you got about 20 people in front of you. And this young dad is in front of us, and he was holding this little boy. He was probably about 2 or so. Little boy was up over his dad's shoulder, and of course, I couldn't resist. You know, dad's looking this way. The little boy's looking right at me, and so I wink at him, and then I start making couple faces, and he looks at me, and he starts squirming, and he starts smiling, and then he starts laughing, and you know, I'm kind of having fun, and then he starts doing this on dad, and so the little boy's dad, he noticed the joy of his son, and he turns around and he sees what I'm doing, and I just laugh, and the little boy, dad, he just kind of smiles. And then his mama came into line with another child, I suppose his brother. And they go on, and they're seated. And I think to myself, and as they're seated too, though, I'm still making faces at the little boy. And he's still looking, you know, at me. But you know, I have no idea. I have no idea at all if that family, if they were Christians, or are Jews, are agnostics, are atheists. I don't know if they were Democrats, are Republicans, and maybe the dad had a criminal record. I don't know. Maybe he and the mother weren't married. Even so, I found myself looking at that family and thinking, man, there are a lot of good people in this world. You know? There are just a lot of good people in this world. Huh. You see, that's what God said. You know, and when he finished creating us humans, God said, man, that's good. That is good. See, Jesus saw the good in people. Even the people everyone else saw that wasn't so good, Jesus saw the good. Story after story in scriptures of people looking down their nose at those who were not so good or doing or being about those things that were not so good, Jesus still looked upon those people and saw the goodness of God in them. Oh, Jesus saw the good in others, and he stepped across the human-made barriers of religion and culture to make friends with these people, to help them, to affirm their dignity as children of God. Jesus saw the good in people. Jesus sees the good in you, and thank goodness in me. Jesus sees the good in all of humanity. And I wonder what the world could be like if we stopped judging others and started appealing to the goodness that is resident in all people. Well, all I know is that when I treat people like sinners, I don't get very far with that. But when I treat people like Jesus treated them, good things start to happen, always. Let me share one more discovery. Thirdly, religion is a dangerous thing. Religion can divide people, it can neglect children, it can justify poverty, it can inspire war. Religion can easily become a weapon against everything that God desires for the world and for the people of our world. Oh, what we need in our world today is not more religion, but more faith. And there's a big difference between the two. You see, religion looks at what the world looks at and sees sin. But faith looks at the world and sees salvation. Religion looks at people in terms of what they are not. Faith sees people in terms of what they can be. Religion is full of laws that has to be obeyed or else. Faith is overflowing with love and patience. And even more, most important, while religion concerns itself mostly with thinking right thoughts and believing correct doctrines and all sorts of spiritual mind games, faith is concerned with living and doing. You see, it's really not all that important for you to come to some sort of a religious explanation of why bad things happen to good people. It's much more important for you to go and figure out how you can bring goodness into the lives of those who have had bad things happen to them. Oh, you see, God does not need people to think that they understand the mysteries of the heavens. What God needs in people is people who are willing to do something about making this world a better place to live. Oh, I once thought that my faith would help me to understand maybe why people die as they do, or why some children are born with some kind of defects, or why there are natural disasters and why there's war. And I want to tell you, I don't know the answer to any of those questions. But what I do know is that even without understanding, my job as a Christian is to comfort those who have lost loved ones, not as a pastor, but as a Christian. To comfort those who have lost loved ones and to work to make life better for those with disabilities and to bring relief to victims of natural disasters and to work for peaceful resolution to human conflict and to use my life to love the world as Jesus did in His name. You see, that's the difference, truly, between religion and faith. We need less religion. We need more faith. We need this Trinity kind of faith, a faith that is daily experiencing God as Father, God as Son, God as Holy Spirit, and living out that experience in what we do daily. Oh, Jesus was so right when He said, I have much more to say to you. Oh, there's much more to learn after kindergarten, and us older dogs truly can learn new tricks. And Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to do just that. To lead us deeper, to lead us higher and further into the wonders of God's creation. And may we truly love one another and see the beauty of all of God's creation, the mountains, the oceans, the hills, the plains, and certainly in all people, whether they're Christian or not, whether they're frustrating or not, but the goodness in all is revealed. Let's give God praise. Lord, we thank You for Your grace that is sufficient, for Your example, Jesus, of truly what it is to live as a kingdom person, to know You as Father, to know You as Son, to know You as Holy Spirit. Lord, we just give You thanks this day and lead us forward that we can truly grow in our faith and grow closer to You and to be mindful of where You are leading us as Your people. For we give You thanks and praise, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.